had an interesting fragment of a dream last night. A little bit of background so that the dream itself may make a little bit of sense. One of my major clients is the Construction Labor Relations Association, and they handle the contract bargaining for the unionized construction companies in BC. The chairman of the board, a fellow named Jim Bromley, is boss of the largest rebar supplier in the province, and is chairman of the board. In this dream, I was doing something totally different than what I do for a living right now. And Jim, it was kind of a media thing. That's all I can remember about it. I really tried to draw it back and it didn't come back very strongly. But he was in charge of a media organization. And I remember in the dream being very surprised, Jim, what are you doing here, kind of thing. I'm doing something really different now, but what are you doing here? And he went on about, don't sweat it. We really appreciate what you do for us. Just keep on doing what you're doing. We really appreciate what you're doing for us. And then the dream switched to me needing to make arrangements, because I had failed to make them, to make a reservation on an airplane flight to go somewhere. And then the dream ended.
Okay.
And so a couple of things came up for me about looking at that dream, and one of them was that whatever changes I think I'm making, that anything that's in my life now will show up and be there after I've made the changes. And it may be that maybe I haven't changed and it's everything just there anyway. And that the tag end there of having failed to make airline reservations to go on to wherever I'm supposed to go is sort of a piece from the old dream that I in the last time I had a dream that involved traveling, I had made very clear and precise advanced arrangements and moved on when it was appropriate. So does it mean that whatever changes I have been contemplating, nothing will change if I do whatever it is that I'm contemplating? And number two, am I spending my time contemplating rather than doing? And that's what the latter part of the dream refers to, is that there I haven't made any arrangements to move on. I got to go make reservations. What do you think?
So my beginning question is, do you understand that a expanding universe is another or new and different universe in every moment?
Yes, I understand that.
Well, explain that to me. Why is not a continuing universe, an expanding universe, just the same universe that just happens to be expanding?
Well, everything in the universe, an expanding universe is, well, let's say, go back a little bit here. To suggest that there is a fixed universe is seems to be a little bit of silly, and that that the universe is undergoing
change. Wait a minute.
Why
is that silly? Why can't there be a universe that is expanding? I don't mean fixed. That's your word. But why can't there be a universe expanding?
Well, there can be a universe expanding, but every instant, every piece of the universe is in a new position relative to me and to each individual piece in the universe, and so it is a different universe in every instant.
Yeah, but do you mean by that it is a single universe that's different in its relationship, or is it another universe? We can understand that it's a different universe because everything has somehow or other changed, so it's a different universe because the parts are not the same. But I'm saying, can you understand that it is another, not just merely different, but another universe?
Okay, then the suggestion is then that whatever universe is here in this instant, it winks out and it's gone, and then there's another new, totally different universe.
No, I never said that. You did.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking you if that's what you mean.
No.
Okay. Then obviously I don't understand. Could you talk about it some more?
My objection to what you just said is, why does the universe have to wink out?
I guess it doesn't have to, does it?
No. So, but you said the universe winks out and a new one begins, and I don't agree with that. I go back again and say, this is the point of being very clear about what we're saying, because what you're then saying is that one has to wink out in order for another one to begin. I'm asking you, why is that? Why do you think that that's necessary?
Well, I was thinking that there we've spoken often over the years about there's a space in between instants where way back when we talked about film in a 16 millimeter camera or a projector, there's a frame. And that there is in essence a blank between frames, and I thought that might apply in every instant with the universe, that there's a frame, and I've assumed that there's a gap between the frames.
Yeah, but who says that the movie frame as such portrays the universe? Why does one universe have to wink out before or along with, however you want it, another begins?
I don't know. I guess maybe then every instant it begins anew, it begins again.
But can it begin different, as a different universe?
Beginning again doesn't necessarily imply that, does it?
Doesn't imply any ending at all.
And is it possible to begin again and be exactly the same?
Sure.
But the universe doesn't do that.
The universe doesn't do that simply because, and there may be, if anybody ever listens to this, a lot of screaming memes out there. Who said that the universe is intentional? To begin again and be the same would require intentionality. It seems to me.
That's correct. That is correct.
Well, as long as we're on that subject, here's a subject I brought up in a discussion last night. Can you conceive of goodness by choice being greater than goodness?
Having goodness by choice.
If you're saying something, I'm not hearing it. Yet.
Boy, it sounds like it's raining big time now.
It is, but it's not big time.
Very loud on the phone here.
Okay.
Yeah, when you talk, it overpowers the rain. But when you go silent, it just gets very loud.
Well, I go silent, waiting for you to talk.
And then you said you couldn't hear me. Anyway, goodness by choice, did you say?
Yeah.
It's quite intentional from the individual, and goodness by itself is sort of like, who knows? Who knows what that is?
Well, what I'm trying to say is we've portrayed God as all good. But then if that's the case, then God is not good by choice. Can you be good by choice and in being good by choice be gooder than God?
Can you say that again? Start again? If God is good, it's always good.
We've set our definition of God as being always good. God is never evil, etc. Supposedly,
yeah.
So. But if you have to be or are good by choice, are you not gooder than God who doesn't have any choice?
Ah, sure, yeah.
Is it possible then that being gooder or being good by choice in every situation is gooder than just being good by choice?
Good in every situation is better than good by choice?
Or just a single choice. Okay, I'll be a good guy. Gooder is being good in every
always being good in every particular.
Yeah, at every choice.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Then would, if following this, would it not be gooder to always judge?
I don't think I follow.
Well, to be good, as the church would say, is to know good from evil, but choose good. And I'm saying to choose good by choice. Wouldn't that then be that at every moment that judging and in that deciding to be good is gooder than not judging?
I think I see what you mean. Yep, that's gooder than I don't judge anything means that you're nothing.
And in that, then, good by choice indicates good by judgment.
I'm chuckling to myself.
Yeah, because our whole concept of do not judge in that regard is fallacious.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge you, so I'll be good to you. Yeah.
Well, if that's possibly the case, is it then that the Bible story in which God asked Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is judgment, asking them not to judge, was a, let's call it a detriment to them? It wasn't like the snake said, well, yeah, you know, then you know good and evil, you'll be wise like the God. Not eating and then not judging in that way would prevent you from being as good as a God. Or good.
Yes, I'm not beginning to just, so how would anyone ever know what the good thing to do would be without judging?
So then judgment is not a bad thing in and of itself. In fact, it's vitally important.
Uh-huh.
Is this okay? What action?
Yeah.
What action you take in the judgment, and how you judge, and what you do as a result? Well, wait a minute. Then that would mean that Christianity's original sin was not being your best.
Interesting.
In other words, if you wanted to be the very best or goodest you, you should not have paid at all any attention to God, who said, don't eat from the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you wanted to be the best you possible, you should do that, and you should always judge and choose to be good.
Well, I'll be. That all fits.
Well, I'm just asking here in this regard. Then, is it possible in the same way that let me see what I want to do. Is it possible that you change by choice or change by default?
Is it really an either or is it that's what's available to me?
Well, I mean, let's take a third option. What is a third option in changing by choice or changing by default?
It would seem that changing by choice is the desirable route. But more often than not, I can see that me and others end up changing by default. So
like an expanding universe, which is then a different universe, then you are different by default rather than different by choice.
I can see that, yes. In an okay, very definitely, in an expanding universe, I am different by default unless I decide to be different by choice.
Well, doesn't that wag a tail? Wag a dog.
Yes.
The other thing at this point, before we go back into where we were, my question is this. The church says to condemn the sin, not the sinner. Reasonable?
Yes, I've heard that, yes, yes.
Then why do you suppose that God condemned Adam and Eve for the sin of disobedience rather than just punishing disobedience? Instead of kicking Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, why didn't he kick disobedience out of the Garden of Eden? Punish the sin, not the sinner.
Well, because I think that in the twisted logic of the thinkers, then God didn't want Adam and Eve to become gods like him.
Well, now what you're really saying in all of this, then maybe that Adam and Eve was a threat to God.
Uh-huh. And that he didn't want to be faced with any challenges, so he got rid of them.
I'm just pondering these things so far. Your dream brings it up. My discussion over the last week has brought it up several times. And what I guess I'm really pondering is that the image of the theater was kind of a good image, but nobody understands that image at all. My question is, what image of yourself and life, as some people said recently to me, what difference does it make? Do I have to have an image? And other people said, well, you know, I believe what I was told. And so I'm asking him, yeah, but why do you believe that? These to me are vitally important questions. What do you believe? What is change all about? Why do you believe what you believe? Would you be good by choice or good by default? Or if you non-judge, then without judging, you have no way of being good by choice. And I guess I'm really wondering is, among other things, what image of life would you be willing to live? You're living an image of life now, like these people that were confronting me. Whether you believe it or not, you're living an image that God or some power or something created the universe, and you in a sense sort of have to get, he's in control. He, she, it, or they are in control, and you've got to get permission in order to change or do anything. But what image of life would you like to have? My theater image works with personal being, eternal being, resplendent being. It does a whole lot of things. But what kind of an image like, well, God creates everything and he's going to save you and etc. if you're faithful and trustful. What image would you be willing to live that competes with that?
Well, I think I'd be willing to
You're obviously not talking to me.
Now, the microphone was going away from me. And Karen is getting tangled up or something in her leg.
I mean, we're mucking around. We're mucking right here in beginning contradictions or problems that the very beginning concept is duplicitous in what is presented. So what would you, just with those several concepts in that regard, what image would you be willing to live?
I can see myself a little bit torn here.
Why?
That?
Why torn?
Well, I really like the image of a supportive universe that kind of like a platform on which I exist. And it never ever interferes and always enables anything I desire. And then go forth and live as I truly desire. That live self-evidently all the time, meaning that I will always know what I want to do in the next instant all the time and fully engage in living that way.
Okay. But how would you change to live that?
Well, it seems that I just go ahead and do that.
But your dream just seemed to say, yeah, just go ahead and do that, but you got a lot of shit hanging back here that you have to clean up.
Yeah, that there is the whole bit about, you know, chairman of the board. Even though Jim Bromley, who's chairman of the board, is a really nice guy that I work with really well, he's still an authority figure. So I'm calling along some kind of authority figure with me.
So then your whole concept doesn't work unless there is a way to get rid of the images and beliefs, etc. And I shouldn't say get rid of them. I'll put that to do something about them or not do something about them. But
yeah,
you're beginning to see
clearly
my original comment to you about, yeah, but I gotta end the other stuff before I can do the new stuff, is hanging in there, because that's where we started. And so you would spend your whole life trying to end or get rid of the old stuff before you could do the new stuff.
And I think that's precisely what that dream says, does it not?
Yeah, but it doesn't say that is the case. It essentially says this is what you believe. Now, what?
Yeah, that's what I'm. It doesn't have to be that way.
The same way as you can look at an expanding universe as the same universe merely changing, or you can look at the expanding universe as an entirely different universe. Are you willing to look at Patrick as an entirely different Patrick in every moment, not a Patrick per se that is learning, growing, and developing?
Wow, you know, I think I really see the difference between the two. One drags along, one is the rope, and the other one is the chain.
So then, if you believe, allow me this, if you really believe that you have to get rid of the old before you begin again, or before you start anew, I've got one very simple question for you. At the beginning of the universe, what had to be gotten rid of first?
Nothing.
Then maybe that's a situation that we can say it continues, that nothing has to be gotten rid of. If in the first instance there was nothing, like void, although the void has a lot of meaning, like darkness and void, lot of meaning, but even if you use only the meaning of emptiness, then that means that for the beginning, nothing had to end for beginning to beginning.
I love that, you know, because nothing could be taken to at least two ways there.
Well, don't leave it there.
Well, that nothing, we say we get rid of nothing. You get rid of nothing by filling it in with something entirely new.
But you haven't gotten rid of anything.
No.
Because nothing is nothing is nothing. Except that there are, like in voids, there are definitions of no solid stuff in space. So you could say, well, yeah, but there was data and information, there was no solid stuff. But in any case, if you really believe that you have to get rid of the old or have a period and an ending in order to begin, then go back to the very beginning and answer, what did God have to get rid of to start the universe? Or in science, what the hell did we have to get rid of in order for a singularity to begin?
Comes back to that nothing has to be gotten rid of.
Well, maybe that's true. And if that carries on as that pattern, then even today, nothing has to be gotten rid of. Well, here's another question, Patrick. Can you be attached? Uh-huh. Could you be attached to something that is not attached to you? Are you attached to your anger? But your anger is not attached to you. Fact is, if you don't anger, then it just falls away.
Son of a bitch.
And that means that there, I could say happiness, pleasure. Could you be in love with, I don't know, let's call it Mary Jane, but she's not in love with you. You're attached to Mary Jane, but Mary Jane's not attached to you. Everything that you are attached to is only attached to you as you continue the attachment.
Yes, that absolutely follows.
So then this guy, that if you change, you bring him along.
goodness. My goodness, I see that. Yep.
So, he's not attached to you, but you're attached to him, and you bring him along.
Absolutely, and I can see that in quite literally. Jim, in this dream, is quite literally living his own life, and not attached to me at all.
You see?
But I bring him along.
That's right. Well, in that case, since we've been on this argument for months and months and months and months, is it okay for you not to continue, or you just want to bring Patrick along? And then you have to end that attachment before you can begin anew.
Well, I'll be...
So would you rather continue Patrick or continue anew?
Kind of again. I would rather continue anew.
As an entirely different and other.
Kind of again.
If you continue as a different and another, can we say then, well, then you don't continue?
Say that.
And that be reasonably so. But you do not continue. But it could it be then that you're afraid to not continue to the point that you bring yourself along? As the same as you brought Jim along, you bring yourself along.
I wake up in the morning and say, are you still here, Pat?
That's right.
Oh yeah, there I am. Hey. That's quite literal, you know that? Just even saying that out loud, I realize how literal that is.
But the problem I've been trying to, and there's more to this than that. Now the problem that I've been trying to do is I have been trying to create an illustration, because like two conversations I had this last week, too much head stuff. So, what kind of an illustration or example or image, what if you had a real, real clear image of that? Then could you not live that image without being imposed upon by the old stuff?
If I have an image of myself living through all the time, you mean?
Of not having, like we just said, by choice, not having to carry on old stuff, not being the same old, or not even being Pat. If you won't let go of Pat, I can't, as I said to a gal several nights ago, if you won't let go of yourself, I can't even begin to show you who you are.
Again, you know, you've said things like that to me before, and I've never really understood what you're saying.
That's right, but you see, then we stop, and I don't talk about you so much. I start talking about the universe, so you don't get all squinched up with your emotions and answer. Well, we're not talking about you. That's okay. Well, yeah, let's go along with it. And then all of a sudden, we say to you, if that's true of the universe, remember, this is a fully supportive universe that doesn't interfere with you, then maybe that action and activity is, it has no intentionality. But from that, then, you're advising yourself relative to this non-interfering universe. It doesn't have an intention.
You think I am advising myself?
Yes. You're looking at the universe doing something and say, hey, I can do that. The universe isn't giving you advice telling you to do something. You're looking at what and how the universe is benevolently functioning for you and say, hey, I can do that.
for them. Yep. Yep.
So the question is that I've been working on with some of these, I've been going back and trying to recreate the theater, but that's okay. But nobody understands the theater, except maybe you do. I don't know. Nobody understands, seems to understand the theater, because you have to have all the prep before the theater makes sense. But how can we talk about a benevolent universe rather than a personal benevolent God? And how can we then, what way and manner can we put together an illustration that of begin again? That you don't have to end the old stuff. And you don't have to carry it on.
You know, part of what you talked about over the last few weeks was that the theater in the round is a repertoire theater.
Yeah.
I bet you there's, amongst the people listening, there's not a lot of understanding even what repertoire theater is. And I was thinking that wouldn't it be more accurate? Now the term is escaping me. One of the people on the stage declares a context, and then everybody just freewheels it from there. They're all actors on the stage, and they freewheel it. I can't remember what that's called. Improv. Terrence, that reminded me. Improv.
Yeah, it's improv, but repertory theater is just a company of players, and that company maybe has a half a dozen various plays that they put on, different plays. And so what I was trying to call it a repertory theater, because you and your audience are like a company of players putting on different plays as in different lives.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That was the only use of the repertory theater, was you are a company, you and the audience, and saying the audience is other parts of the theater, the company, and you all are all putting on the different performances.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I see the talent of illustrating. It's almost, yeah, any illustration is going to require so damn much background.
Well, I'm not too sure that necessarily is the case. Whatever the illustration is, it has to be very, very, very simple. Like,
yeah.
Like God created, and then everything works from there. You're not using the illustration to get all the points across. You're using the illustration like a bare Christmas tree to hang all the ornaments on.
Ah, that's an idea that I have to come up with, yeah.
So how do we do that? Is it then creating a picture like God created and did all these good stuff and you're the bad guy and all that kind of shit, and your problems in life is because you don't believe in and trust God, or you're not faithful, ever faithful, and all that kind of shit. But the point here is that if you consider the universe as a benevolent universe that serves you as you truly desire, then we can say that your problems in life is because you're not serving yourself the way you truly desire.
Yeah, I think we can say that. Absolutely.
So, then, the other issue is a thing that we start in. How do we overcome the fact that you want to continue? What we seem to be indicating here, and your dream as well, is that if you continue, you will continue the stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
And we can know that simply because you don't really, really, you and most people, don't really, really live what you truly desire. You live only avoiding what you don't want, or avoiding the bad stuff, or not doing too badly.
Yeah.
And so the old crap then, since that's the way you're living, in health or relationships or in business or whatever, keeps coming up over and over and over and over again in that, in the same way. How can we picture you as an ever expanding, but there's if we talk about ever expanding, there is no universe that is ever expanding. How can I get you out of that there is a you that is ever expanding? That if you look at it from the nature of it's an ever different universe, then there's an ever different other you, and there is no you. Now take this image as well. If at every moment there is a different universe, then over a span of time, aren't you living in, and isn't the universe sort of an infinite universe?
I guess that follows, yeah. Ever expanding has to mean that.
I mean, if we say ever expanding means ever different, then there's over the life of you've lived in infinitely different universes. Well, wait a minute. If there were, you've lived in infinitely different universes over the past 65 years, haven't you lived in infinitely different selves or yous? And I don't mean by that just that there was a you changing. I'm talking about completely different self, as in everybody in the audience.
Yeah, I can see what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I say that's
good. Yep,
that has to be part of the illustration. How do we get that into the illustration? Because you're, and yet is the problem.
Yes.
Because as, and yet, the point is, it's that Patrick on the stage, the only one you relate to.
Yes, and there is, what's missing for me, or maybe I have the question and I don't, haven't answered it for myself yet, is that I think that there must be the only word I come up with at the moment is there must be a controller that I know isn't Pat on the stage.
Why? That's language. Why does there have to be a controller that's not on the stage? Because you just rushed back to God again. Listen very carefully. The theater is the theater of you. So even if there is a controller, the controller is you. Well, why does there have to be a controller that is controlling all of this?
Now that I've said it out loud, it sounds ridiculous.
But that's how we got God in the first place, because language says that if something happens, why, there's got to be a happener. But that's language, and we created the language. Can't we just say, who says?
Absolutely. You know, that I'm really amazed that, having said it out loud, how ridiculous it sounds.
That's the point that I've been trying to get people to consider. And if you argue against what I am saying, you're justifying your own opinion the way it is. But if you stop and merely just, as you say, just say it, then the old beliefs are ludicrous.
Yeah.
And the only reason that they follow through is somehow or other is people put an ending and then start something new. They've made a jump shift and not connected with the fact that sentence A contradicts sentence B. Whereas if you don't stop and start again, if you always just merely begin again, then it has to all flow together, and you can easily see where the contradictions occur. But where you take periods and then start with a new subject, two subjects sound very reasonable in their own context, but they're totally or mutually exclusive or totally contradictory.
Yep, and I just illustrated that, didn't I?
Well, I don't know that, but I'm trying to sort of get some of this across, but I guess like my three conversations this last week, I need an illustration and get everybody pissed off to start with. One says, why do I need an image of myself? The other one says, well, I believe what I was told to believe. But yeah, but do you want to believe that? Why do you believe that? And another one just stated images that even she didn't believe. So what image can we get? For instance, if it's not this or that, what is that the, if there is, let's wait just a minute here. If we say in the beginning, and we're saying, well, there is a beginning or there is not a beginning. If there is a beginning or not a beginning, then we can argue science and religion however I want to, but and forever and go nowhere. But what third object or what third option is there to just the simple word in the beginning? Three words. What is a third option to that?
I think it's in a beginning.
That doesn't make any difference. A beginning, the beginning. You're talking about a particular beginning.
Then there's always beginning. The beginning, everything is beginning all the time.
Thank you. And that's the point. There has never been a beginning. We're still beginning. And one you can start with, not saying in the beginning as singular, but we can say beginnings. It's still beginning. We've had infinite beginnings, and we're wait a minute. If we're still beginning, there is no ending.
That certainly follows, yes.
Can we say then that the universe might be transfiguring?
What does transfiguring mean for in this application? It
takes a new form or a new shape or a new appearance or whatever. Maybe in beginnings it isn't ending, but can it be constantly transfiguring?
Mm-hmm.
So, and so
transfiguring,
if...
Transfiguring, it's infinite.
Who we got on here now?
Is that what you think?
Eric.
Huh?
So if you're saying it's transfiguring, it's always transfiguring, it's infinite.
But it's had infinite transfigurings. That's all the universe is doing. What we're saying, if we can look at that for that minute, then we can say, has the universe ever ended? Has time ever ended? I don't think so. It has transfigured.
Oh, look, the Mayan calendar ended.
What?
The Mayan calendar ended.
No, it the calendar didn't end. It just stopped at a certain cycle. But actually, if you continue running the calendar, it doesn't end.
So it's transfiguring.
There you go, you see? From one cycle to another cycle.
Right.
And there has not been an end. If you've got to have endings before you have beginnings, can you ever show me an ending in time?
There would be no ending in time.
Then the time could never have begun because there was no time to end in order for time to begin. This is not a semantic crap shit. I'm not trying to play that kind of a game. I'm just saying that we've followed the pattern of language for a long period of time and got us into this mess. Is it possible? What I was trying to do with the theater illustration and everything else is to say, wait a minute, get your mind out of geography, get your mind out of time as past, present, and future. Just leave that alone for a minute. And like Patrick says, gee, when I say that, actually repeat what you just said, it sounds ridiculous. Then maybe in that regard, you can be attached to something that is not attached to you, and if you carry it on, you carried it on.
It doesn't carry itself on.
If it isn't what you want to carry on, let anger go visit somebody else.
Okay.
But you see, if I say, could you be attached to something? You might think of, well, let's see, I'm tied to this tree. Well, then the tree is tied to me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to say, if there's a concept that allows you to be attached to something, but it not be attached to you, is that not viable in your life?
I think so.
The other thing, along with what you're saying, and I'm trying to get an illustration, so hey, anybody that might be listening in since we started, you got an idea, small or whatever, send it to me. I need an idea, that allows us to get this concept across without having to explain it to each and every person. What if there are no laws of the universe, which there aren't, by the way, but just in case we say that. There are no physics or physical laws. There is only a pattern, which I presented years ago, that which is greater than is not also lesser than that which it is greater than, then it's not greater than. What if that or several other patterns is the function of the universe? Could we then say your bad habits are not greater than you unless they are also lesser than you? That the greatness that you do is not a greater you, except that it is also equally a lesser you. That which is universal cannot be universal unless it is also particular. Well, that got us a great silence, didn't it?
Well, that's sure ponderable. It sure kicks up a lot of ponderable.
Well, what I'm trying to do is to say maybe along with that or something else of this, as you would say, well, the universe is benevolent in that it never interferes with what I truly desire. That may be one of those things. But is there something like that that is part of the illustration that allows us to freely function in life, say, without interference? Right now, we've set it up so God's the big guy, and you got to do what he wants, or be faithful to him guy, or whatever, and that doesn't seem to work. And science comes along and says, I've got 37 million laws here, and doesn't give one hoot and a damn about you.
Right, so then you're saying we're in a constant state of flux.
You're in a constant state of turmoil.
Well, that to me could be flux too.
Yeah, well, it's flux. Yeah, I agree with you in that regard, because you never know. You can't know what to do under the conditions.
Right.
And you can't live as you truly desire. You must live as God or science desires.
Right.
There's got to be a third option. Science contradicts religion. Religion contradicts science. The philosophers and the mystics jump in there with crap that is part some and part of the other. And there is no way you can deal with that. The question is there an image that, hey, puts all of these to shame or brings it around to a simplified image that people can understand right off? If you can't live as you truly desire, then isn't life a a big, what, sham?
Well, can't live as a desire, then religion had it right.
Well, that's the point. And you can't live as you desire, then science is correct. You have to live according to science, or you have to live according to religion. And living as you truly, and that then is the big problem, because you want to live as you want to live, but both science and religion, philosophy, mysticism says you can't do that. How can we create an illustration which is a simple illustration that it changes that?
I got a question. Okay. If religion says one thing, science says another, mystics say one thing, and if you want to live the life as you desire, aren't you negating yourself?
Why?
Because if you're judging, you're, in a sense, negating.
How do you arrive at that?
Certainty. Because you're taking uncertainty and putting it into certainty.
How do you arrive at that?
By judging. Because we were just talking about constantly being in a state of flux.
Oh, I didn't say that as a constant state. What I was saying in the constant state of flux is what creates your unhappiness, your discontent.
Okay.
I mean, I was agreeing with you only in that's where we stand today, in that struggle.
Right.
But now we're trying to say, what illustration can we use? Because it can't be just for people who have thought about this or studied this or understand all. It's got to be for anybody to say, well, she is, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. So just to let you know, I'm in flux again. Because now you got me thinking about it.
That's right, but it's getting you out of flux. The only way you're ever going to be out of flux is two different, as you say, is one is living as you truly desire without discontenting yourself. Any form and nature of discontent just throws a monkey wrench in the whole thing.
Right. So if you put it in the state of universe, that means quantum travel could never happen.
If I do what?
If you put it in the realm of the whole universe being in constant flux.
No, I didn't say the universe was in constant flux. I'm just saying the beliefs of religion and science put everything into constant flux. Who says that what religion says is what the universe is doing?
Right. Okay. Got it.
And I'm saying, isn't there a third option that is more closely aligned with what the universe not only is doing, but how we want it to do it?
Right.
For us. You can just muck around all you want in Montana. I don't really care.
Hey, I'll muck among the trees all I want.
By the way, where are you in Montana?
I'm up in Helena.
Okay.
He's almost in Alberta.
Almost in Alberta, you're right. That's where you're at, aren't you?
No, I'm in BC.
Oh, you're in BC. Ah. Yeah. We're practically neighbors, though.
He's in flux.
I'll go live as my heart's desired and go cut down all the trees around the property here.
Protect your property.
Yeah, that's why there's chaff.
Okay, so here's where I am. I need a good underlying image or structure or illustration that I can use to try to explain or at least begin a conversation that they don't piss all over me right away, a way that we can hang all this stuff onto.
Well, I will have a dream about it.
And don't change it.
No, I'll wake up and write it down.
All right.
Yeah, well, I see your point, Roger, and it's sort of like you got to undermine everything anybody's ever believed, or find another hook to get them interested to engage in further conversation.
That's right, and what happens so far is without an alternative illustration to start with, it's always treated as I'm judging them or whatever, that their beliefs are wrong. And my issue is, I don't care if they are wrong, that's not the issue. Even if they are like your dream, their being attached to those things is what carries them on. But you ought to be able to change whenever, however you want, and there is no undoing. If there's no undoing, there is no penalty. There's no amends you have to make. No forgiveness you must earn at all. And all illness then is, in a sense, from the picture we're using here, is in a sense the fact that you're not living the self and life you truly desire.
Yep, and slowly, and sometimes not all that slowly, bringing an end to physical existence.
That's right. Because of the struggle, you wear out your body cells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless we have a real good answer to this, I'm ready to quit early.
Well, I don't have anything to offer to you at this moment, so maybe we should.
But that's your dream. That's your dream to me, is if you want to change, if you want to do something else in that regard, you can do that by choice, and you also do not have to bring along with you that which you don't want to stay attached to. You don't have to pay the penalty for that. And you can always begin again without ever having an ending. Regardless of what science says.
That is so vital.
Sure, and you can all see, everybody looks at it down the line, well, okay, I got to stop doing this in order to do that. Or the old saying, you can't move on while holding on, all that crap. Then let's take your mind back to the beginning and say, then what was before the beginning that had to be ended before a beginning could begin? And if the answer is nothing, then if that's nothingness is a truth, then it must be true today.
Absolutely. Can you repeat that?
A truth, Eric, must always and in all ways be true. So
right.
If you could, because we say, well, this is a truth. Well, except on Wednesday. No, it's always got to be true. And in all ways, because you can't say, except when it's green, that it's not a truth. So therefore, if nothing has to be overcome in order for a beginning of the universe to begin, then that, if that is a truth, means everything downstream of that must follow.
Right, so then there is no end.
There is no what?
No end.
But that means, that's right, that there is, this is the point, that's why I say there's transfiguration, but there's no ending, and I can begin again in the transfiguration. But I don't have to end doing something. That's a language construct that isn't valid.
Right.
And that thought of that I have to have endings or I can't have beginnings is built into our language in everything we do. It's vital not to succumb to that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Lot to think about. I'll write down my thoughts, see if I can email it to you later.
Anything. Any little piece of something, because I've been struggling with trying to find the right, you know, that part that Patrick says, well, it's the benevolent universe that doesn't interfere so I can live as I truly desire. Is sort of a good beginning. How do we expand on that?
Right.
Okay, well then with that, we'll quit early tonight.
Okay.